Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. Yes, it is the Weekly Worldview, and it's so good to be back and glad to have you back. It's a show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors or any commercial interruptions of any kind. But we do help focus you on the events of the week. Through the lens of original thought, we are back. Sorry we missed you last week. My extremely attractive audio engineer and I had some unexpected events develop. We had a conflict arise, is what. So that's the perfect. So if you ever have to cancel or reschedule with someone and you're afraid that they might think that something has come up that's more important than them, which obviously it has, if you're wanting to reschedule, you simply say, I've had a conflict arise. Can we reschedule? Because it's understood that no civilized human being will ever ask you, what is the conflict? What is it that's more important than me, right? So there's my tip of the week to help you get through life. I've had a conflict arise. So we had a conflict arise last week, and we're back this week, and the government is still shut down. The government is still shut down, and somehow we have survived, but maybe not for much longer. Look at this. The Hill is reporting that the FDA has suspended routine domestic food inspections. What? Amidst the horror of the government shutdown, the FDA is no longer able to conduct routine food inspections.
Oh, that means we get romaine.
That's right. We're all going to die of romaine botulism poisoning. What was it? It wasn't botulism with the romaine. It was... Anyway, it was a foodborne pathogen, and now everything's just crawling with them. You know it because the FDA is out of business. Well, they're not totally out of business. In fact, they say that they are still inspecting foreign manufacturers and producers involved in recalls or outbreaks. The commissioner of the FDA, somebody's nephew, says he's putting together a plan to resume inspections of facilities that the FDA deems are high risk. And they're talking about seafood primarily. Seafood and cheese, I guess, are high risk. So basically, the FDA has been cut back to doing only the work that is absolutely necessary. And even that is generally not necessary. Because you know what the thing is about food producers is there's an automatic check. If a whole bunch of people eat your food and they get sick, you go out of business. Ask Chipotle. The FDA wasn't involved. Anyway, this is all just make-work stuff. The FDA commissioner says, we are doing what we can to mitigate any risk to consumers through the shutdown. So, I think we're supposed to be scared now. We're all, okay, let's try to move on if we can. Let's go on to some good news, ladies and gentlemen. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is still sick, and she cannot make it to court, which means she is going to retire. Either she's going to retire or she's going to drop dead at any moment, and that is pleasant to report. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, possibly one of the people most responsible for the destruction of all that is good and right and wonderful in America, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You can lay most of it at her feet in whole or in part. And she remains unable to attend Supreme Court. And now, to add good news upon good news, Harry Reid is about to die. That's right. Perry Reed is suffering from pancreatic cancer, and his doctors say he does not have long to live. So despite the horror of the government shutdown, that will not prevent Harry Reed from passing from the scene. The government is not required to sign off on Harry Reid's impending death. He will be allowed, him and Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Hey, maybe we could start a pool. Because if they were to die on the same day and you entered the pool, you could win $50,000. All right. So it's almost like a joke. Harry Reid and Ruth Bader Ginsburg walk into the lobby of hell together. And then you go from there. You'd have to write the joke. But that's the beginning of a joke. Harry Reid and Ruth Bader Ginsburg are not well. Now, Harry Reid did an interview. Who did he do an interview with here? The New York Times, as you can well imagine. And he talked a lot about Donald Trump because he's jealous and bitter and vindictive because he's on his deathbed now. He's about to go to hell for all of eternity, and Donald Trump gets to be in the White House, and that bothers Harry Reid to no end. But I'm not going to report what he said about Donald Trump because I don't really care. But he did say, regarding Chuck Schumer, here's what Harry Reid said in the interview. He said, "I do not call Chuck Schumer." He then said, "I call him once in a while," meaning Harry Reid is a liar. And he doesn't even realize that he lied. He just went right on with one of those two is a prevarication. Is that how you say it? One of those two statements is not true. He says, "I do not call Schumer." Then he said, "I call him once in a while." My guess is he calls him once in a while. He also says, "I love Nancy Pelosi." That's one of the reasons Harry Reid is going straight to hell with jet rockets, is because he loves Nancy Pelosi, amongst a host of other reasons. This is as reported in the Daily Beast. The Daily Beast. How appropriate that a website called the Daily Beast is writing about the impending trip to hell for Harry Reid. And of course, we hope that Harry Reid repents. But the odds of that are extremely slim because he's so evil and so corrupt. So for all of you young people out there, this should serve as a warning. If you stay evil long enough, it becomes virtually impossible for you to come away from that. And then you die and you go straight to hell. And Harry Reid will be an example of that. And then hopefully very soon, or even before him, Ruth Bader Ginsburg would make an excellent example of a similar life lesson. There we go. Some good news to start out the show. Hey, what's going on with Juan Williams? Have you people seen Juan Williams? Is he on Fox or is he on CNN? I think he's on Fox. He's the token liberal girl on Fox News. When they want the liberal feminist angle on something, they throw it to Juan Williams. Anyway, I had never seen a comb over on a black guy before, but I saw it on Juan Williams. First of all, if you're doing a comb over, you've got issues, okay? I mean, if you're not comfortable enough in your own skin to just realize that you're losing your hair and just get over it, well, you got problems. And I don't care if you're on TV or what. Anyway, so Juan Williams obviously has issues. He's got self-esteem issues. He's obviously a liberal, feminized girl. But I just never seen a black guy try to pull a comb over, and Juan, it does not work. And Juan, you should send a memo over to Don Lemon, because I saw him do it too. I went from living 50 years having never seen a black guy do a comb over. Now I've seen twice in 1 week two liberal feminists. Black guys. Maybe it's in for black guys to do the comb over now. Is that racist for me to notice? I think it's racist. I apologize. I certainly don't want to. Let's just move on. We'll change the subject from black guys doing comb overs, which is a relatively uncomfortable topic. First of all, just to even mention it is relatively uncomfortable. No, it's not good for anybody to do it. I don't care if you're white or black or yellow or brown. If you're doing a comb over, I'm sorry. You drop a couple of notches in my opinion. I'm sorry. And Donald Trump is the king of the comb overs, by the way. Uh-huh. I mean, he can claim it's not a comb over, but we all know what's going on there. Now, let's go to Starbucks. Not literally, although I was in a Starbucks. I was trapped in Portland. I'll get to that later. I'll get to Portland here in a little while because I have to report some issues with in and around Portland, Oregon. But first, let's go to Starbucks in spirit, where apparently there is a major problem at Starbucks with people leaving dirty syringes in the bathroom. I did not know that. I didn't know there was a problem with heroin addicts and Starbucks. Although, now that I think about it, it does seem kind of like a natural, right? You're allowed to hang out there as long as you want. You can dress like a slob as long as you have a laptop open and you order a cup of coffee. So it's probably the perfect hangout for a heroin addict. Well, apparently, there's a big problem. The discarding of syringes and other paraphernalia has become a problem. So what is Starbucks' solution? They are exploring installing Sharps disposal boxes in the bathroom. And removing trash cans. So no trash can in the bathroom. So forget living in a civilized society. We're not going to have bathrooms. Why? Because we're accommodating the junkies. What about the regular people who aren't shooting up in there? We don't need a Sharps, that's for sure, but we might need a trash can. So I'm reading the story and I'm not understanding how removing the trash can helps.
The syringe is not made by plastic.
Syringes are made of plastic and then the needle is a surgical stainless steel.
So
yeah.
Let's
see. Oh, that's right. Now, so straws they frown upon, and syringes they just wish you wouldn't leave them on the floor. That's okay with them. Syringes they're okay with. Anyway, this is really weird in that you would think that Starbucks would ask law enforcement to enforce the law against, like shooting up in the bathroom. But that's not the first thing that comes to mind with Starbucks executives. They want to facilitate the proper disposal of the needles, which is just bizarre to me. Removing the trash can still does not make any sense to me. I don't know how that helps. If they're throwing the needles on the floor. We'll see. We'll follow this story. This is a developing story. Actually, we'll probably never hear about that story again, ever. But that's all right. But that's okay. We'll get by without... without pondering the reasoning behind Starbucks accommodating the junkies in the bathroom. Meanwhile, we go from that to the Sicko Pagan file. This must be a new file that I just came up with. The Sicko Pagan file. And for that, we go to Washington State, as you can well imagine. Washington State wants to become the first state to legalize human composting. The composting of human bodies. There's a bill that's been introduced in the legislature by an actual senator there named Jamie, who's a sicko pagan. And Jamie says people are very excited about becoming a tree up there in Washington. Well, you know, when you're a sicko pagan, you know, your priorities are different. You know, instead of looking forward to an eternity of joy and peace with the living God, pagans want to become a tree because they don't see much beyond that. Because that's it. You're a sicko pagan. They actually think when they die, they go into the dirt. That's what they think, that they actually go into the earth. Well, people are excited about Jamie's idea of composting human beings. One of the reasons is that the average funeral costs about $7,000. Did you know that? I did not know that. But composting yourself into a 1 cubic meter block of black compost costs around $5,500. Now, I'm not sure why it's that expensive. Why would it cost $5,500? We compost stuff. Doesn't cost anything. You put it in a box, and then nature does its work. Anyway, yeah, $5,500, $7,000, I'd rather have a nice funeral, you know, maybe put me in a Cadillac like Aretha Franklin. Let's see. What happens here? You may be asking yourself, Doug, what do you mean by human composting? Why? Because nobody ever thought of that or heard about that or even discussed it ever in public ever that I ever heard of. I never even thought about it or heard of it. So I'm sure you're wondering. Well, here's what they do. Unembalmed human remains are placed in a composting chamber. And then about a month later, out comes a cubic yard of compost. See, now that's what I figured it was. I figured it was just like composting, everything else. Except it's a person, which makes it creepy and weird and somehow wrong, I think.
Yeah.
Well, now they've studied it, see? They did a 5-month study of human composting with 6 donor bodies. Apparently, there is some concern about the spread of harmful pathogens. That's what I would be concerned, because rotting dead bodies are, that's generally not good, right? Well, so they did a study, and the study concluded that the remains produced were safe. Now, how they concluded that, I can't imagine. And how you learn anything from studying 6 cases, I'm not sure I buy into the statistical significance of all that. Anyway, they say that this bill, Jamie's bill, up there in Sicko Pagan, Washington State, to compost people, they say it could open doors to new burial alternatives and ways we can choose to have our memory honored. So me, personally, I do not want to become a 1 cubic yard black mass of festering goo. That's not me. I'd rather have a really good sax player at my funeral. Are you implying that Senator Jamie is smoking dope? Is that the implication with that bumper? Washington State. Now we go to Oregon. From the there ought to be a law file. This is no, I'm sorry. This is there oughtn't be a law file. This is the there oughtn't be a law file because Oregon, a new law took effect in Oregon last week, allowing meat from animals killed by vehicles to be harvested and eaten. It's the roadkill bill. It became a law. Apparently, it was illegal, although I don't know why you would have to have a law saying you can't eat roadkill. I would think that roadkill in and of itself is a law unto itself. Anyway, but they say now in Oregon it's going to be legal to eat roadkill, and up in Washington, it's going to be legal to compost yourself into a 1 cubic yard block of black goo. So, something's definitely gotten into the water up there in the Northwest. A lot of strange things happening up there. Residents, now listen to this, folks. If you thought just the idea, excuse me, got a frog in my throat. Let me take a drink here. Hold on. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Now, where was I? So, you would think that just the fact of passing a law related to roadkill seems ludicrous and ridiculous, right? Just the idea. But then, now, it has to be actually administered. So, there's going to be rules about, well, here's the deal. Let's say a deer and or an elk is struck by a vehicle. Okay, let's set this up. Imagine that, right? You've got a deer or an elk struck by a vehicle. Residents of the state of Oregon are now required to submit an application for a permit no more than 24 hours after salvaging the elk or the deer. Now, this doesn't get into spotted owls, or wolverines, huh? Or deer, Well, no, deer or elk are covered. Okay, I stand corrected. So, now it does not, there is no wording in the law, as far as I can tell, about how long has the carcass been sitting on the side of the road, festering and rotting. There's nothing in there about that. I suppose that's a judgment call you have to make. I guess the smell test. If it doesn't smell, okay. But you have to have your permit in no more than 24 hours after salvaging the roadkill. Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife will issue the permits, roadkill salvage permits, for free. How's that? You do have to submit your request within 24 hours, but it will not cost you anything more than, well, I mean, you're risking your life eating rotting dead thing off the side of the road. There's that risk. There's that cost, that potential cost. But there's going to be no out-of-pocket costs on top of that. Permit, listen to this. Now, the permit has requirements. The permit requires a driver to submit the animal's head and antlers to the department within 5 business days of, I'm not sure, of eating it, huh? Of getting out of the hospital after having your stomach pumped. Anyway, it says you have to you have to submit the head and antlers. And the antlers. Don't leave the antlers out. Can you imagine driving all the way down to the Department of Fish and Wildlife and you brought the head but you forgot the antlers? Now you got to go back to got to go back to your house. You got to find the antlers. What did you kids do with the antlers? This kid's picking his teeth with it. It's just, this is weird. Now the reporters here at The Hill magazine, which is actually a website, it's not a magazine. They say that it is still illegal to intentionally kill an animal to salvage it in the state. So see, now you've created, see, here's the thing. Now, even if it's not hunting season, people are going to be running down deer with their car because if you hit it with your car, now you can eat it. Anyway, the law of unintended consequences. By the way, folks, Oregon has now joined nearly 20 other states that allow residents to harvest roadkill. I was not aware of that. I was not aware that there was a demand for roadkill. And, well, there you have it. Now, speaking of Oregon, should I talk about this now? Since the story is, this is Oregon. So I found myself in Portland on a business, a top secret mission is what it was. And I was driving to the airport, and it's about 8 o'clock, and I was thinking about food. It was 8 o'clock in the evening, and I was thinking about food. Why? Because that's pretty much all I think about anymore, because I started dieting. And I never used to think about food much at all. I wouldn't think about food for hours and hours until I got hungry, then I would think about food. But when you're dieting, now you think about food all the time, because I'm hungry all the time. I haven't been not hungry since I started, maybe twice. Since I started this whole thing. So I'm driving, and my flight is at 1 o'clock in the morning, which I do not recommend, by the way. I'll never do that again. So I'm driving to the airport in Portland, and it's around 8 o'clock, and I'm thinking about food for reasons that I've already referred to, and I'm trying to decide, should I eat somewhere, or should I just go to the airport, and I can eat, and I can do my emails and do all my work stuff. And I come up over a hill there in Portland, and I encounter a large neon sign, and I mean large. Each letter is approximately the size of a man, and that sign says prime rib. Now, so I have an affinity for neon signs that I'll get into some other time, but I saw the sign that said prime rib, and the decision was made at that moment where and what I was going to eat that evening. And so I went into And now I didn't write the name of the place down, which is pretty bad. I can't recall the name, but it's been around since the 1950s, and it's very famous. Prime rib joint. It's like Dave's or Stevie's or something like that. If you Google prime rib in Portland, you'll see it first thing. Anyway, so I go into the I go in and there's a bar and there's a band. And I was like, well, look at this, a bonus. Not only am I going to have some prime rib, I'm going to have some live entertainment right here. And the band was good. They had a telly and a dobro and a sax player. They even had a squeeze box player. Huh? How about that? Yep. And so I settled in at the bar, and I immediately noticed that the bartender was a homosexual. And it was odd because it's a black guy. And you're not used to... Now, back in the day, you just never ran into any black guys who were homosexuals. But apparently, in Portland, there's some kind of... There's a union rule. Anyway, so... It's really weird when you're sitting at the bar and you're just minding your own business, waiting on a slab of prime rib to come out. And one of the waitresses is asking the bartender about his boyfriend. And anyway, it was not a welcome thing. Okay. I went and sat elsewhere over there by the band so that the loud music would drown out the conversation that was going on between the bartender and the waitress about his... Anyway, it was just not cool. But the band was pretty good. And then I realized an interesting thing about a band. Okay, so this was an all-original blues band. They played straight blues, but it was all original numbers, right? It was all their own music. And I realized an interesting thing about a band playing all original blues songs is that all the songs still sound like covers. That's because, anyway, I had never had realized that before, but it really is true. And then I moved across the room because I didn't want to hear about the bartender's personal life. And two millennial girls sat down at the table next to me and talked loudly in between songs about all the issues they have with their mom and with their boyfriend and with their self-esteem. It just really sounded pathetic. I mean, these girls are probably in their mid-20s, and it made me really happy that I'm older and married, and I don't have to sit around and talk at a level that is obvious you want other people to hear you. It's like, I don't want to know about your mom. I don't want to know about your boyfriend. I just want to eat this piece of prime rib and drink a beer and listen to some blues. Could somebody please get the band back out here? It was, anyway. So that's my report from Portland. And then I got to the airport at about 11 o'clock. And then I still had 2 hours to wait before I got on the flight. And then I slept. So the bad thing about a 1 a.m. flight is that you just start to move into REM sleep and the plane lands and you don't want to get up and you got to drive home and you're half dizzy and weirded out. It was not cool. And then I had to go to work the next day. It was not fun. So all in all, I'm going to have to give Oregon the prime rib was excellent and the blues were good. Does that make up for the bartender and the millennial girls? I suppose it does. So I will give Oregon a passing grade this week, although their legalization of roadkill harvesting does mitigate against them up there in Oregon. But at least they're not composting each other yet up there in Oregon. Hey, that's the one thing that wasn't covered in the bill there in Washington, was it? Let's go back. In the human composting bill, did they point out that it's still illegal to kill a person just to compost them? Because as you know, it is legal to kill certain people at certain times and certain conditions. So I think when they write a law like this, I think it is incumbent upon them to point out that it is not legal to murder a person just to compost their body. Since that issue has become something of a gray area, especially when it comes to the murder of innocent unborn children, which is legal throughout the state of Washington and Oregon and all 48 other states. And it's a practice that we wholeheartedly condemn and we fight against, and we hope you will join us in standing up. I'm arguing with a lawyer from Princeton online right now about when and where it's legal to kill innocent children. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, this guy is going to law school at Princeton, and he's trying to legalistically defend the murder of innocent unborn human beings. And I thought, for my nation, I thought, surely the end is near. All right, we're going to have to come back. That's all there is to it. I know. I don't want to either, but we got to. Anyway, that was now that guitar player at Benny's or Billy's or whatever up there in Portland, he was not that good. He was pretty good. He was all right. Now, by the way, the lawyer at Princeton that I'm debating on online, I had to interrupt the debate to do this show. But I've been debating. So he... he condemned me because I told him he was going to hell. He said, really? Am I going to hell for explaining the law to you? And I said, first of all, to assume you've explained anything to me is a bit presumptuous, don't you think? And number two, no, you're not going to hell because of explaining the law to me. You're going to hell because that's where people who don't want to live with God go. Oh, and then there's also your advocacy for the murder of innocent people amongst a host of other horrible, evil things that I'm sure you practice. And that's where I left the debate with the Princeton lawyer or law student. I'm not sure. But I will get back to that and I will update you. And we'll see if he understands why he's going to hell. Now, we'll get back here. Let's get back onto the topic of roadkill. Because it's an important issue. But this is, now let's, so in Oregon, the crazy, insane Northwestern pothead weirdos are harvesting roadkill. Meanwhile, in a normal state like Alabama, there was an 18-wheeler that crashed and it spilled its entire contents of chicken tenders onto the roadway. Boxes and boxes and boxes of chicken fingers onto the roadway. And the Alabama Emergency Management Agency had to issue a public service warning telling people not to eat the chicken tenders that were spilled on the road. Apparently, people were flocking to these cases of chicken tenders that were all over the highway. And the state had to issue an alert saying, listen, those chicken fingers have been on the ground for over 24 hours. They're unsafe to consume. Because in Alabama, that's a normal state where they tell people don't eat things off the road. It might make you sick. Anyway, maybe if this happens in Oregon, you'll be able to file to get a permit to harvest the chicken tenders. Anyway, it's all just ridiculous. Yeah, what are you going to bring from the... what are you going to present to the office at the end? There are no antlers. It was a chicken. The bureaucrats, well, we've got to have the antlers. Okay, all right. All right, now this is horrible news. Jeff Bezos and his wife are divorcing. Have you heard of this?
Who's that?
Jeff Bezos owns Amazon.
Oh.
He's worth approximately $147 billion. And him and his wife have been together for 25 years.
Wow.
Now listen to this. The Daily Mail in London reported this. Bezoses are divorcing. The two share four children. They share four children. So, We can't just say they have four children anymore. We have to be so sensitive as to point out that they share four children. I'm sure if you ask his wife, I'm sure she did most of the sharing with the kids while Jeff was off building all his, whatever, his billion-dollar business. Anyway, they got four kids, three sons, and they adopted a daughter. And now, for whatever, listen to what they posted. These self-absorbed heathens, Jeff Bezos and his wife. I'm assuming that they're self-absorbed heathens. I apologize if that offends anyone that I make that assumption, but that's the assumption that I'm making based primarily on what they posted about their impending divorce. Now, the fact is, ladies and gentlemen, is the National Enquirer tracked Jeff Bezos for the last several months and caught him cheating on his wife. That's what happened. And then they told her, and she's getting a divorce. It's the same old-fashioned story. There's no sharing or any of that. He was cheating, and she wants a divorce. But here's what Jeff posted on his Twitter account. We want to make people aware of a development in our lives, plural. After a long period of loving exploration and a trial separation, we have decided to divorce and to continue our shared lives as friends. All right, Jeffrey. Yeah, I guess they weren't growing. Jeff, I don't feel like we're growing.
They're grown-ups. Yeah.
Anyway, Jeff was growing. He was out with another woman is what happened, see? And there's nothing mystical or Eastern meditative about it at all. It's just a dirty story of a dirty-minded guy cheating on his wife. And he's a lowlife. So he's worth $140 billion. He's failed at the most basic function in life. He's a failure at the most significant and basic thing he could do to make a lasting impression for all of eternity. He failed at it. So it doesn't matter how much money he's worth. And it doesn't matter how he tries to dress it up. And we're going to be friends. We're going to share. Yeah, right. We'll see. We'll see how all that goes. I just want to say, Mr. Bezos, you are a horrible example to your children. That's what you are. And that's what you will be remembered as primarily, as a failed father, a failed husband, and a terrible example to your children. What else did he post up here? Oh, we had such a great life together as a married couple. We see wonderful futures, plural, ahead, as parents, friends, partners, and as individuals. And Jeff should have added, and with other women, is what he could have written that, but he didn't put that. That wouldn't have been as poetic on his. So it's just, it's a tragedy when people are this famous throw their marriage vows away as if they're just worthless. It's a terrible example to not only Jeff and I didn't get his wife's name. That's unfortunate. Whatever. I didn't get her name, but she's probably as hideous a person as he is. All right. Now, let's move on from that scandal, which it was a scandal. That's a scandal. But let's move on to the moral scandal in the United Kingdom. Yes, what is the latest moral scandal? It's food waste. Now, we've been covering this. Wasn't it Washington or Oregon that made it illegal to throw food away recently? Didn't we cover a story like
Austin,
that?
Texas.
Oh, that was Austin, Texas. Oh, well. So anyway, in Britain, they've appointed their first food waste chief. He's the chief. Uh-huh. His name is Ben Elliott, and he's a nephew of Camilla Parker Bowles, the Duchess of Cornwall, proving my axiom that government officials give jobs to their shiftless relatives. He's actually her nephew, and he got the gig as the chief. Let's see here. He was appointed as a one-year voluntary role as food surplus and waste champion is the official title. The champion. He was appointed. So this slack-jawed inbred nephew of Camilla Parker Bowles was, that's just mean. I apologize. I don't mean to imply anything about the royal family. And he was appointed by Environmental Secretary Michael Gove. and he, as you can imagine, he's issued a proclamation regarding food waste is increasingly, I can't even do this, it's just ridiculous. There continues to be an unforgivable amount of food waste, which is both morally deplorable and largely avoidable. Blah, blah. Said nephew Ben. The story here is reported on a website called news.trust.org, which I have no idea who they are. This could be a made-up story.
Yeah.
I might have been tricked on this one, folks. I never heard of news.trust.org, but if it's got trust in its name, somewhat suspicious. They report that food waste is increasingly viewed as unethical, as well as environmentally destructive, because wasted food is dumped in landfills where it rots, releasing greenhouse gases. Oh. Wow. A double whammy. Not only have you disrespected Mother Earth by wasting food, you're also now belching out greenhouse gases upon her. That's right. Drive it up to the Department of Fish and Wildlife in Portland, but don't forget to bring the antlers. All right. Let's see. The government there in the United Kingdom is introducing a requirement for businesses to report food waste policies and to set mandatory targets. Now, not for wasting food. They want to set mandatory targets to avoid food waste. Let's be clear about that. And I'm sure that's written in the new requirement out there that'll be administered by young Mr. Ben Elliott, the champion. Food surplus and waste champion. Can you imagine the Winston Churchill appointing? I just can't imagine, right? It's like, what's going on in England? Anyway, world leaders, by the way, according to news.trust.org, world leaders have pledged to halve food waste by 2030. To halve. That means to cut it in half. World leaders have pledged to halve food waste by 2030 as part of the global development goals set by the United Nations, as you recall back in 2015. All right. And so if you weren't feeling guilty enough about just existing and living, there's something else to worry yourself about and feel guilty about, right? All the wasted food. So I just want to, just a memo to anyone who's paying attention. The fact, so in the story, they reported that about one third of all food is actually thrown away. About a third. Well, here's the thing, it's actually a sign of prosperity. And by the way, when the food is thrown away, it's not gone forever. It breaks down and through a really sophisticated mechanism, it eventually becomes more food. So don't freak out about it. It's going to be okay. Now, I don't suggest that you throw food away on purpose just to be a smart aleck or just to waste food, but please don't freak out about it. Because the food comes back as more food later. All right. Now, let's, now I'm getting into serious news, and I was just having a good time. But there's serious news out there. I had a story about the Chinese Navy. I threw it away. Because, you know, you only have so much room for so much news in a one-hour show. And so it all can't make the cut. So I had to throw away the story about the Chinese Navy. And that was going to be my lead-in to this story about the American Navy. But now I have no segue. So we must take a break. That's why everybody wants a piece of the action. We'll be right back. Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. We're back. It's good to have you here. So, I think I called somebody a heathen earlier in the show, and I did not know that heathenry is a specific religion. I thought it just referred to any godless heathen, is what I thought. Well, it turns out, not only is heathenry a specific polytheistic religion that traces its origin to the Norse myths of Odin and Thor and all of that, that's actual heathenry. And how did I find this out? Well, I found it out from the Navy Times. Why? Because sailors are practicing heathenry on Navy ships now. So the story I had about the Chinese Navy was how they're building aircraft carriers and they're looking to dominate the Pacific. And it was quite worrisome. And meanwhile, the heathens are taking over. We got a story here from the USS John C. Stennis, which is an aircraft carrier and the home of a once Roman Catholic sailor from Alaska named Joshua. And he's a heathenry lay leader, which is a position of religious leadership that must be appointed by the unit's commanding officer, like a priest or a pastor. He's the heathenry lay leader. And he leads a small group of, but growing group of sailors aboard the aircraft carrier John C. Stennis in heathen rituals. Yeah. Anyway. So apparently young Joshua was once a Roman Catholic and was probably starting to realize how stupid and ridiculous Roman Catholicism is. And he was in high school at a public school. And then he enrolled in a mythology class. And oddly enough, he went from a really creepy, weird version of Christianity, Roman Catholicism, to completely ludicrous mythology. And for some reason, he thought that was more fulfilling, which is really bad rap on the Catholics, right? I mean, guys like Odin, Thor, that sounds more believable to me. Anyway, it shows how badly the Catholics are doing at getting the gospel across. But this is also reason number 1,188 to keep or get your children out of the government schools because they'll enroll in a mythology class. And if you've been going to some bogus church like a Catholic church or what's this other kid they interviewed here, he used to be a Lutheran. So if you're a phony baloney Christian, your kid's going to realize that they're going to go to mythology class. They'll end up being a heathen on an aircraft carrier. So there. This former Catholic says he identified with the polytheistic faith in a way he never had with Catholicism. Uh-huh. This is from the convenient religion file. Because the thing about the heathenry is it didn't say you couldn't do anything. You can pretty much do whatever you want. So that's a fairly convenient religion. Whereas as bad as Catholicism is, at least they tell you thou shalt not something, right? There's certain things you shalt not do, but not in heathenry, which makes it very attractive to a young high school student. This other kid from Minnesota, he said, I went to Lutheran services when I was growing up, but it always felt forced. He discovered a group of heathens who opened his eyes to their religion. Some of them were probably girls. Anyway, all right, let's move on because there is serious news. Mumia Abu-Jamal has been granted a new trial. Mumia Abu-Jamal, who shot and killed a Philadelphia police officer named Daniel Faulkner in 1981. We all remember it. If you were alive, we all remember. He did it. He was convicted of it. And ever since then, every rock and roll band and every R&B artist has insisted that he's not guilty, even though he's guilty as sin. And he killed this cop. But a judge ruled last week that another judge involved in the original case should have recused himself because of something he said. It's just the most ludicrous. He doesn't say that he suspects maybe Mumia Abu-Jamal didn't shoot Daniel Faulkner. That's not what this judge said. He doesn't suspect that at all because everybody knows that Mumia Abu-Jamal shot Daniel Faulkner. It's obvious to everyone. But He's been granted a new trial because everyone is insane. Everyone is losing their mind. The case, according to Fox News, has received international attention among death penalty opponents and criminal justice reform advocates, which you could just say God haters, cop killers, deviants, homosexuals, and other perverts. You could just put that instead of criminal justice reform advocates. God haters, cop killers, and other deviants. Anyway, so there's from the justice file. What's that? Was I supposed to quote somebody?
I don't know.
Okay. So Justice Ronald Castile should have recused himself because of statements he made as a prosecutor about police killers that suggested potential bias. That's why I didn't read it, because it's so stupid. So there was a suggestion that there could be some potential bias on the part of a judge who was involved in the original case. Therefore, even though Mumia shot Daniel Faulkner and killed him, we're going to put on a new trial because everyone is insane. There. Okay, so let's move on. Now, we already did the heathens, right? Okay. And the food waste. Now let's get to the serious news. The leading cause of death in 2018, Breitbart reports that the leading cause of death in the world in 2018 was abortion. Approximately 41 million completely innocent people were killed by abortion. 8.2 million people died of cancer, 5 million from smoking, 1.7 million of AIDS.
What? Really? That much?
Around the whole world. Based on the latest statistics published by the World Health Organization, globally, just under 25% of all pregnancies were ended by killing the child in 2018. And for every 33 live births, 10 babies were murdered. Can you believe this? It's shocking. The staggering number of deaths has led observers to call abortion the social justice cause of our time. Indeed. That's an understatement. That's a tremendous understatement. So, the Supreme Court decision. Anyway, they make reference to the annual March for Life that's coming up, or maybe it already happened. I don't know. Supreme Court decision in Roe v. Wade that invalidated 50 state laws and made abortion legal and available on demand throughout the United States. Here's the thing, folks. Roe versus Wade is merely a Supreme Court opinion. It didn't legalize anything. It was allowed to invalidate the laws against abortion by men who wanted sex with no responsibility. That's exactly what happened. A generation of men who wanted to use women as sex objects and then get rid of any inconveniences associated with that, they allowed that Supreme Court decision to overrule the laws against murder in all 50 states, and it continues to this day. It's a mass delusion, is what's happening. Anyway, so abortion is definitely more of a man issue than a woman issue, by the way, in my opinion. I think that the very first person who ever thought of abortion was a man, not a woman. And I'd bet my life on that. And someday we're going to find out. Who was it who first conceived in their heart the idea of killing an unborn child? Do you think it was a woman who wanted to be liberated and free? Or do you think it was a man who wanted to get rid of the evidence? Well, we'll find out one of these days. So the greatest atrocity in all of human history is occurring every day right now in peaceful, clean communities. And it's all dressed up and it's done with surgical precision, and now they're doing it with pills. And it's the greatest moral crime in all of human history. And what's the worst thing about it is that about a third or more of all the people have actually participated in it, which makes it very, very difficult to see how, as a civilization, as a society, how we ever collectively repent of it, because we're all so covered with guilt and blood. It's just very, very, it's just horrible. All right, that's all I... And so that culture where 25% of babies are being killed, that just makes the whole world that much more coarse and mean and vulgar and vicious. When murder is something that's resorted to 25% of the time, it's just, it's, well, here, let's go to the New York Post. Amariana Hall and her younger sister have been taken into custody because they killed their mom. Their mom was 32 years old. She was stabbed multiple times and shot once in the chest by her 14 and 12-year-old daughters. The attack followed an incident in which the girls had tried to run their mom over with the car, with the family car. In response to that incident, the mom punished her daughters by taking away their phones, and so they shot and stabbed and killed her. So murder is just one more problem-solving option that may be selected in a society that is so drenched in violence and bloodshed. In the past, if mom took away your phone, you'd get really mad at mom. Now you might stab and or shoot mom to death.
Why did you want to kill her to start?
There had been disagreements. Oh. It's hard to say. I mean, it was disagreements that we've all had with our mom and dad or each other or our kids. We've all had these type of disagreements. None of us have chosen to kill the other person, but these girls did. Now, that's from the domestic tranquility file. We go to the justice file, where an inmate named Scott Raymond Dozier is finally dead. He would have been the first Nevada inmate put to death since 2006, but his execution was called off twice amidst arguments between lawyers and judges over just how to kill and what particular combination of drugs. In fact, this guy's case was one of the reasons I first reported on the fact that these drug companies were trying to stop the states from using their drugs to execute criminals. These pharmaceutical companies were specifically refusing to ship drugs to states just so the state, and then the states, because it's run by a bunch of legalistic bureaucrats, they couldn't figure out how to execute people because they didn't have the specific combination of drugs. It's ludicrous. And I remember reporting on this guy. This guy said, look, I did it. I want to die. Well, they couldn't get it done, so he killed himself. He hung himself in prison. He was found dead last week. So despite the best efforts of the state of Nevada and countless lawyers and judges, Scott Raymond Dozier is finally put to death, but he had to do it himself. And we're just glad he's dead. Now, speaking of dead, another young black man has been found dead at the West Hollywood apartment of a prominent Democrat named Edward Buck, who is apparently a very rich guy. And he donates money to Democratic politicians, and he has a penchant for giving drugs to young black men, and a couple of them have died while he was with them in his apartment. Edward Buck, 60 years old, was at home at the time that 26-year-old Gamel Moore died of a drug overdose, and now another young black man has died. It's given this guy brings these male escorts home, gives them drugs, does whatever they do, and he happens to have killed a couple of them. And so even the Democrats and the homosexuals are starting to get a little bit intolerant of Ed Buck. They're actually insisting that there be an investigation. Yeah. All right. Now, let's see. Want to finish in China? Over in China, from the Real Religion file, the government, they have a government-approved church there called the Three Self Church. It's an officially approved church. Well, last week, the Chinese communist atheistic government conducted what they call a patrol inspection team of the Three Self Church. Upon conducting the inspection, an official pointed to the first of the Ten Commandments and he said, this must be removed. Now, I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but do you know what the first of the Ten Commandments says? The first of the Ten Commandments says that you shall have no other God before me. It says, I am God, and you shall have no other God before me. The communist official on the inspection team said that Xi Jinping opposes this statement. Xi Jinping doesn't like it. So churchgoers took the Ten Commandments sign down under pressure from the authorities. Members of the church are furious, but they're also scared for their lives, so they took it down. The same church had its cross demolished last August. They broke the cross off the top of the church. Now they've had them remove the first of the Ten Commandments. And from what we understand, the atheist Chinese government has 9 more inspections scheduled at the Three Self Church. And I think the next time they will probably notice the second commandment, and then the third, and then the fourth, and so on and so forth. It's despicable what the Chinese government is doing to the church there, but it also is a sign of how terrified the communist Chinese government is of a genuine spiritual revival competing with their hollow, empty, communistic worldview. And that in a moment, the Chinese government could be toppled by the hundreds of millions of people who are actually seeking God. And I pray every day, I pray that it'll happen. I pray that it'll happen. I can't do these other stories because they're just too depressing and vulgar and horrible. I'll just finish with this one, folks. Roxley Doss had an inoperable brain tumor, and in June she was diagnosed and told that she had a very short time to live. She went through radiation. Her tumor just spontaneously vanished. And the family says they're praying for a miracle, and they got it. And if you're using miracle just as a figure of speech, then that's cool. You got a miracle. But what actually happened was that this girl's immune system, as it was designed by the living God, happened to figure out the cancer, and it killed it. It happens sometimes. It's not a miracle. Can God give a miracle? He certainly can. But he also gave this girl an immune system, and it worked. It's really cool. From no cure to no trace of an inoperable brain tumor. Anyway, either way, we say praise the Lord. That's it for the Weekly Worldview, folks. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com and at Denver Bible Church and my other brother Daryl, who makes it all happen here at the Weekly Worldview. Should the Lord Terry will be back with you next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.